Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 28th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and joining me this morning is Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing well, Taryn. You know, Green Day said, wake me up when September ends. I might be like, wake me up when September begins, because August has been a little mean to me. But there's still a lot to be said. The week is fresh. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of conversations. I'm just excited to break it all down.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 23 in the house. And we had some interesting happenings. We had an eviction. I believe it was Janelle's 200th day in the Big Brother house. She got evicted on her 200th day. Currently in the lead for most days spent in the Big Brother house. Although that's a stat that you will want to track for only a couple more weeks, because soon Nicole Franzel is going to hold the title.
Of all people to take the title over, I like my round numbers. So the fact that it was exactly 200, it's kind of magical that it happened the way it did. But that being said, she's going to get usurped real quick by her bitter rival. That might be I'd watch out for Twitter in the next couple of weeks. I just put that out there. And not for like other people, for Janelle specifically. I imagine she'll have something to say.
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about what happened yesterday here before the eviction. In a couple of rumblings. So yesterday I told you that Christmas was roasting David about not having watched any seasons. What is he doing here? So the day that we're talking about yesterday, day 23, Christmas is now concerned that David might have overheard some of that roasting. And she is actually going to change her plans. She had initially planned on putting up Bailey and Davon if she won, but instead she is now going to put up David to send David home because she's worried that David's going to come after her after hearing the roasting.
It's a classic case of if someone knows information that I need them not to know, and there is no way of me guaranteeing that that's not going to affect me, just get rid of them. That's the proper move to do. That's the right thing to have happen. And given everything we do know, I wouldn't have been mad at the situation. But yeah, I don't want to like jump the lead with Christmas, but I have some feelings about Christmas and they're very positive ones. So we'll just get to them later.
Do you think that she's a very good mom to star babies?
I think she's a very good mom to star babies. Definitely. All 13 of them, all the names. Okay with all of them. But Taryn, I was very sour on Christmas returning. You know, we're nearing it a month now. I feel like there's a meal of crow ready for me to eat because I'm very impressed with Christmas. And I don't know if like I was just snowed by what I saw in 19 or how I perceived her to be in 19. I don't think I saw any of this, but I've been genuinely pleased with it, Taryn.
I like the implication that now you are sweet on Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm not a, you know, famously outside of Christmas the person, not really a Christmas the music guy either. So maybe I'll change my tune on that this winter too.
All right. Well, we also had Cody and Danny talking. He filled her in on the Connect Four meeting the night before, where Bailey in particular was really making a push to try to save Janelle. Danny is like, I want Bailey out. Danny is now, I want Bailey out ahead of Davon. This is happening a lot. Nicole wants Bailey out ahead of Davon. She's got Christmas wanting Bailey out ahead of Davon. And now Danny is also on that train. Ian as well is on that train. A lot of people now starting to come for Bailey. It's not looking great, Booyah.
It's a little scary, and obviously this has to do with the fact. So initially, the whole reason it was the Davon situation is Davon has a tendency of taking information and not giving much away, which sketches people out because they feel like, why am I not being told anything? Why are you not sharing with me? It's a give and take. Why is that not happening? But then Bailey has come through and really shined in a way, but in a negative way that might have like exposed her real, like, she is clearly someone that is getting along with a lot of sides in the house, that has a lot more sway than people might have realized, that is friends with people that they're not friends with. So this is something that to them is dangerous, especially if Bailey's good with a Janelle. Bailey will be good in talking to a Kacer. Bailey will be good in talking to other people that are on the outs. And maybe she could be the one that rises from the ashes and starts a coalition against them. I think that's the read they have on her. And I think that's why they would be terrified and are looking to target Bailey.
Well, let me tell you some more bad news, because Davon and Kevin also don't trust Bailey. They were talking before the eviction about how she says, look, I'm going to tell you there is an all guys alliance, but don't tell Bailey. Like, I'm keeping it on the down low from Bailey, which like she did initially tell Bailey, but even just the day before, she had been saying to Bailey, like, I guess there's no guys alliance. But now she's going to Kevin like, there is a guys alliance. Don't tell Bailey, though. And he was like, yeah, I don't trust Bailey. And she's like, I don't either. I mean,
Taryn, you are the historian on the panel. Is this specifically all go back to the whole like the Davon David thing? Is that the root of this with Davon? Or what is the core reason for Davon to be saying?
So the first distrust that we saw between Day and Bay was that Bailey was really close to Janelle and Davon really did not trust Janelle and Kacer.
Right.
Remember, Davon is still under the assumption that Janelle and Kacer were totally safe from Cody and that they screwed themselves by playing in the safety suite, which, to be fair, is actually an opinion held by most of the house, including Tyler. So like that bad reads not just on her. Cody has lied to a lot of people about that. But she really felt like Janelle and Kacer are, you know, on the outs, and she felt very good with Cody at first. And she felt like she was in good with the Cody side. Bailey was in good with the Janelle and Kacer side. And she was worried that Bailey was actually closer with Janelle than she was with herself. And that was always a concern of hers. She would say things to Bailey like, hey, if you choose to go with the Janelle side, please just tell me. I'm willing to go with you. Just don't do it without me. I don't want to end up on opposite sides. Then Danny told Devon that Janelle and Bailey had a pregame relationship and alliance and deal or something along those lines. And Devon was like, it's confirmed her suspicions. And she was like, I've said so many things about Janelle to Bailey. And that made her worried. And so that was the start of it all. Then we had a situation where people were poking fun at Devon and David for having a crush on each other. And it was supposed to just be amongst the women, but Cody found out about it, and he said that Bailey is the one that told him, and so she feels like Bailey betrayed her trust by telling Cody about this thing that nobody else was supposed to know about. Then we had the David situation, where he went to Bailey about Devon, about not trusting Devon, and Bailey wasn't the first person to go to Devon. David questioned Devon about it first, and then Devon was like, hey Bailey, what's up with this? And she was like, oh yeah, he came to me just today. And she was like, when did he really come to you? And so there are a lot of those things coming together, I think, to make Devon feel like I can't fully trust her. I feel like she's not all the way with me, which unfortunately is a very wrong read. We've heard from Swaggy outside and Bailey herself inside the game that like she cares about Devon's game almost maybe more than her own.
Yeah, it's very disheartening to see whatever remnants of the outside alliance already fracturing without any of them being put on the block, without any of them being under the, you know, the hot seat at the moment. Definitely this is a misread. I think that, you know, the combination of things that went on in the last couple of weeks, and then add in to the fact that I think that Kevin has become her confidant. Like, Devon is almost the only person she feels like, this is my vault. No one else has access to this vault but me. So I'm going to deposit all my thoughts in here. So, and we've seen in the other week, last week with Nicole, Kevin is someone who people feel comfortable, specifically feel comfortable to go in and just like empty their whole thoughts and feelings about people. So this is very heavy to see. I hope she comes out of it. I think it's possible. We'll just have to see how this week goes for her. For Bailey, but ultimately it's sad to see. It's a sad sight.
Yeah. So that's what's going on before the eviction. We're going to get to the eviction, and of course we're going to see that Janelle is voted out 9-2, with two rogue votes being cast by Danny and Enzo. Now, if you recall from yesterday's update, Danny had approached Cody with the idea, hey, let's both cast rogue votes and blame it on Devon and Bailey. Cody said, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. That's dumb. I'm not going to do that. And Danny went, okay, fine. As you can see, Danny went ahead with this plan anyway. And Enzo also voted that way. Now, I do not know yet if this was coordinated by Danny and Enzo, but based on what we saw last night, it appears that it might have been an accident, that Enzo was just doing the same thing he did last week, which is casting a random rogue vote, and Danny just went ahead with her plan as a single rogue vote, and then it happened to line up that they both did it. I believe that's where we're at with that, but that is the explanation for why the votes went that way.
Yeah, Danny had her own agenda set, and Enzo, I think Enzo just, you know, thinks that adding this could add a wrinkle into the game that could help him, given all the other people that are like moving sideways, moving fast. Whereas I feel like Enzo's whole demeanor in the game, his perception to the other house guests is he's chill, he's social, he's not going to do some dumb stuff like that. So he'd be the last person they suspect. There's so many other people they'll suspect before him, and that'll just benefit him. Because again, Enzo's in a very decent spot, centrally located, where no one's even looking to go after him anyways.
Yes. So Janelle is evicted. Julie tells her some things. And then we get to the HOH competition. And what we saw in the HOH competition in the episode is that Kacer got first place in the first group. Apparently after that happened, Ian was like, Kacer, how did you do it so fast? And Kacer said, I used math. Which is a very Kacer thing to say. And Ian was like, that's dumb. But then Ian watched him do it the second time and it made sense. So what Kacer was doing was that he took all three balls and rolled them at the same time, trying to keep them going at the same pace so that when they got to the middle, they would have to be going to separate places in the middle portion, thus increasing the chances that some of them would land in the holes. And it worked. Two of them landed in his first throw, apparently, or close to it. And then he was able to quickly get the third one, and that's why he was able to do it so fast. In the second round, in the final round, he did the same thing, but only one of them landed, and then he had trouble getting the next two, which is why he ultimately is going to lose the HOH competition. But I just like such a Kacer thing to, like, I used math, Ian, to win this competition.
Such an easy solution. Math solves everything. I would like to say to the audience, there is a GIF, there is a video flying around Twitter of Taryn's reaction when he found out that in fact his dreams are going to be shattered and that what we saw on the show is not going to be what we're going to see IRL. You definitely need to check that out. Taryn was very sad, as were the rest of us, but it is what it is. Kacer gonna Kacer.
Someone posted it on Reddit, and one of the comments was like, "You can literally see the five stages of grief go through him in these 15 seconds."
Yeah, I've never paid attention to your square on the video closely as I did at that moment. It definitely was worth it.
So in the second round, not the final round, but the second round, apparently it was, Enzo went through, and it came down to the third person to get through was going to be either Cody or Memphis, I believe. And it was incredibly close between the two of them. They had to actually review the footage, go frame by frame to determine that Cody, in fact, did get there just ahead of Memphis. And so then in the final round, I guess Christmas was in the final round, and she did really well initially. She got two really quickly, and Enzo was very far behind. And then Enzo managed to just kind of like one, two, three, and just like that, Enzo is our new HOH.
Enzo, the person who won no comps, not barely any comps in the brigade, has now won, the most comps? He's won one of each, as he liked to put it last night. He has an HOH under his belt, a veto, and a safety sweep.
Yeah. Enzo the comp beast.
Oh, yeah. Now he's the beast. Now he's the animal. He's no longer just the meow meow. He's all of them.
Yes. It's hard to know what was in what round, but what we do know is that Enzo ultimately won. Yeah. Enzo is the new HOH, and he is going to have a conversation with Cody pretty quickly, upstairs. And he says right away, pretty much what we said on the podcast last night, that he plans on putting up Kacer with a pawn and then backdoor Ian, Kacer comes down. So that's the plan. That right away, that's the plan. Nothing major is going to change from that.
Yeah, that's the pretty much what everyone's worst nightmare was, is what is looking to be coming to fruition. Because obviously, when we talked all the scenarios, the reason this week was going to be exciting and the reason why Kacer staying over Janelle was going to be exciting is because there were less people that were going to go for this outcome. The few that were Cody, and obviously his right-hand man, and Enzo probably has the same agenda. Now, do I think it's bad that Enzo won? Because, I thought Enzo was in a very central position and in a good spot. I think this is another one of those where Enzo's lucky enough to win this, having a clear target in the house. And because of how well Kacer did do in that first round, he can be like, hey, listen, I'm the Enrique Iglesias of the Alliance. Like, he could have won this, but I had to pull it out. I'm the hero. I got your backs. The meow meow has some chops. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to help us go further. So again, it's kind of similar to the Tyler win where there was an obvious target. And again, this makes it BKSer. Am I upset about it? Of course. But also, again, there's still a lot more that can be done. Maybe the next day that could change that. Maybe depending on the veto, that could change that. So it's not 100% done. So, but it is a predictable two options that he has on the table.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting scenario. It's definitely very good for Bailey and Devon, who were on the brink of extinction here. And Enzo winning not only keeps them safe, he will not nominate them probably. But if he does backdoor Ian, that's actually a huge boon for them. That would be very, very good. Because it lessens Nicole's power. It takes out one of the people coming for them. And it's just overall would be probably best case scenario for them. When a lot of things are looking bad. So that's a positive if you're looking for a positive. And so Enzo talks about, he also talks about how, you know, getting Kevin out would actually be a good move as well. Like if they don't backdoor Ian or if they don't take out Kevin or sorry, KSer, then Kevin is maybe a good option as well because Kevin's a number for Day. That would not be an ideal scenario for Day and Bay, but honestly, Kevin does nothing for Bay. So it doesn't really matter. But Enzo is very frustrated with the girls, as he calls them overall. He's like, hey, come on, yo. These girls need to pick up the weight now. They're not winning anything. They're being sketchy. What's going on?
They're not. Listen. To win Enzo's heart, what have we learned in seeing him play before? He wants his alliance. He wants his alliance to have the parachutes to bring into the alliance. But also wants them to win for him and pave the way forward for him to keep moving. And to him, there's some people that haven't done the work, right? So there's some people that haven't put in the minutes to be allowed to be given the praise. So I think that obviously he's the one that had been talking about maybe like backdooring Danny. Now that he's won, we knew he's not going to be the one to want to do it. He'd want someone else to do it. So he says to Cody yesterday, he's like, yeah, it's too soon to do something like that, but we definitely have to keep our eyes on him. We definitely have to do something in the future, but not right now. There's not this week.
Yeah, it's too soon to do it now, yo, but like, she's got to go. She's got to go. And the reason they're talking about Danny in particular is that Cody tells Enzo, he says, look, I'm going to tell you this. Don't say anything. This is a David situation. If you say anything, you're going to screw my game. Danny approached me just yesterday. And she said, hey, you want to do something crazy? What if we threw two rogue votes onto KSer to set up Devon and Bailey? And I said, no, absolutely not. And now today, there's two rogue votes for KSer. And I went up to her and I was like, oh, hey, so you got someone to vote with you anyway. And she denied it. She said she didn't do it. Like, what are you doing? What? Like, she's out of her mind.
I did like the... So with Danny, I feel like when she gets caught or when she's guilty, she does this over-exaggerated song. Oh my God, are you like, that's ridiculous. I would never do that. But I did like some of the words that came out of her mouth, maybe not the way she said them. I did like the idea of just being like, wow, so if we had done it, it would have been four people. Like just to pretend that I wouldn't have been part of the two. You're not part of the two. It would have been two other people that have done it. I like that. But again, I feel like Danny doesn't sell her lies too good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just feel like there's no getting out of this lie.
No.
It's so obvious. Like, you can't propose that you do this and then be very obviously disappointed and annoyed with Cody when he won't do it. And then when it happens, be like, oh, yeah, I didn't do it. I don't know. What are you talking about? Like, that just tells Cody that you approached him with a plan. He turned you down. You were annoyed. You went somewhere else. And now you probably trust this other person more than him.
Well, you talked about it yesterday about how she pitched it of like, would you want to do, would you be down to do something risky? Are you that type of person? Like, is that something that is in your arsenal? Like, that is too suggestive, and that's too clear that you want me to do this thing. You really want me to do this thing, and that's why you're saying it the way you are. So I do think that there's no way of hiding that necessarily, but I did like her belief in herself of like, so if we had done it, it would have been four of us. Like, come on. Who else would have done? You think other people are thinking to do risky stuff like this? No, definitely not.
Yeah, it's like if somebody wants to hang out with me and they're like, hey, want to get effed up? And I'm like, nah, not really my thing. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then they're like, actually, I've got other plans. And then you see them posting pictures and they're getting effed up with somebody else. And it's like, okay, now they're closer with that other person, right? Like, I've been rejected. I'm not cool enough for them. So now they're going to somebody else. That's the situation.
Yeah, you were not the primary reason for asking to get effed up. The effed up part was the reason you were getting asked. They just needed an effed up accomplice.
Yeah.
It didn't matter who it was.
And now she's found someone else to be that accomplice, according to the slide. But the thing is that I don't think she actually found another person to do it with her. I don't think Enzo did this coordinated with her. I think that he just happened to vote this way. So Cody is now going to be worried that like she did this with Nicole or somebody. And it's not even true that she found somebody else.
No. And it'll be interesting to see, because as it is some weeks, not all the weeks, but some weeks, this is a hang up for the HOH, for the people in the house, the mystery of who done it, who voted this way. And I do think that this week there's going to be some investigation. There's going to be some conversation. Not everyone agrees with this mentality, but there are definitely some people that are going to try and get to the root of this issue.
Yes. So Enzo, like I said, he talks about like, it's just, this week is too early, yo, but she's got to go soon, bro. She's got to go soon. That's it. So that's their talk. I didn't love that Cody was up there talking to Enzo so fast and for so long. He was the first person to talk to Enzo. Enzo was up in the loft area by himself. And then Cody was just like hanging out up there for like, it felt like a good 20 to 30 minutes. When like Enzo's planning on talking to everybody in one-on-ones. And it's such an easy week this week. Like it's, you know, Enzo is his closest ally. He doesn't need to like get in there early and really overly strategize the entire week. Just like quick shot with Enzo. What's the plan? Kaser in a pawn. Perfect. I'm going to go chill with everyone else so it doesn't seem like we're scheming. That would be my idea. And I know that people already see Enzo and Cody as close, but like the thing that really solidifies in people's minds that like these two are, you know, controlling the game together is like this period right after HOH when you strategize about the noms, especially if it now seems like Enzo is already set with a plan, like he already knows what he wants to do, which Enzo is probably smart enough to not give off. But just overall, I feel like this is one of those things where just like no need to like make it seem like you're a pair here.
Yeah, I mean, as much as people might think they're already working together, I think the right move is to not do that. Obviously, I'm of the mind of the bookend assumption, which is the first person you see them talking to and the last person you see them talking to. Those are people that they value that information. They value that opinion way more than others. So it's very clear given how Enzo's persona is, he wants to not be bombarded tonight. This is not the night for him to talk. He just wants to chill out. It's been a long day, whatever. So him talking to Cody, and like Cody's like one of like two, three people he talks to at this night, is not going to be a good sign. I think Cody, knowing he's, you know, we're a final two, we're a right hand man type of situation, he doesn't need that conversation right now. Like, he's safe. So just let it be whatever it is. And then tomorrow morning, get the debrief. Or like you said, if it's a walk past, you know, whisper situation of, hey, quickly, we're going to put up Kaser in a pawn. If someone, Kaser comes down, Ian goes, it's like, okay, calm, whatever. And then you walk away. This is too much. You're doing too much when you're safe and you don't need to.
Especially because there's already plenty of heat on Tyler. And I think that if Cody and Enzo aren't careful, you know, Enzo now winning a third competition, Cody being up there with him, people might start to go, look at this duo over here. Tyler's maybe not as dangerous. Maybe it's not Tyler and Cody. Maybe it's Cody and Enzo, which it kind of is when they don't want that to be known. Just a little nitpick there. Memphis is going to talk with Kacer, and Memphis is like, all right, this is what we got to do. And Memphis is like, I don't know if he's genuinely scared. I don't think so, but he's acting like he might end up on the block this week. And this is like the most amount of acting that I've seen Memphis do if he's not actually worried. But he says that you should try to get David on the block, even if it's like next to you or next to me. If we can get David on the block, I think we can convince them to vote David out because he's been pissing everyone off. And what we should pitch or what we should try to like insinuate is like, we don't want this guy in the jury. You don't want this guy, you know, voting emotionally, not voting for the right person in the jury. And then like also like we got to hang out with him in the jury for all the time. Like nobody wants to do that. So let's try and get David up there and out this week.
And here's the thing. I feel like I'm open to this in the sense that I think that there's some level of, I can believe this to be a scenario that would work out for Kacer, is if David's sitting next to me. If there's a pawn that has to sit next to Kacer, and like Ian's a backdoor target, and then the noms stay the same, I could see David both be eventually chosen of like, let's just get rid of him. Or I could see David dig himself a hole because now he's proved that he's capable of doing that. So this is not bad advice from Memphis, which then leads me to believe, I know he's acting the whole, like, I don't think he really thinks he's going to go up on the block, but I think a part of him wants to keep Kacer around at this point. Am I reading that wrong?
I think you're reading it right, absolutely right. I think that Memphis would like to keep Kacer. I think he'd like to keep Kacer for a while, to be honest. I think that he'd like to keep him in his back pocket and focus on taking out some other people, especially David, who's coming after Memphis. It makes a lot of sense for him to want to go after him. So I think that he will be working this angle for sure. And so will Christmas, because Christmas also feels good about Kacer. Christmas is going to talk to Enzo after the HOH room reveal. And he says, hey, I really like you, yo. I want to work with you. And she's like, yes. And she like high fives him because she's Christmas. He says, I know you're loyal, yo. And you know when to talk and when not to talk, you know? And that's it. You know, you're here to compete. And that's your everything I'm looking for, yo. You got nothing to worry about this week. So you do your thing. You protect me. I'll protect you, yo. So that's.
This is, Taryn, this is, I believe, love at first parachute for Enzo. This is the first time I think Enzo's ever been like, oh my God, I have someone who can be my person outside of my main alliance. And he thinks it's Christmas. I think he's fully convinced it's her.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I like this pairing, dare I say. It's a fun pairing. But I do think that he completely thinks that Christmas is one of his chess pieces now.
It's very funny watching him try to work a parachute because he's very obvious about it. And unfortunately for him, Christmas has already been taken. He just doesn't know it yet. But they're happy with this. They talk about like meeting up after the game. Enzo brings up the rogue votes, and Christmas is like, well, I do know that Bay and Janelle were really close. Enzo asks how she feels about Ian. She says, you know, he played with somebody that was really good, but don't underestimate like his ability in competitions, right? He'll win these quiz comps, and the endurance comps, like a wall, like he could win those too. And Enzo's like, yeah, exactly. Yo, exactly. Can't underestimate this kid. So Christmas talks about Danny being sketchy. Enzo agrees. And Christmas says she has a good rapport with Kacer, and she feels like she can get in his ear. But Enzo says, but if everyone's telling me to put him up, yo, like, what am I supposed to do? And she's like, I don't know. Is everyone going to tell you to put him up? He's like, if like Tyler and Cody, they're beasts. If they're in my ears, like, you got to put Kacer up. What am I supposed to do? She's like, well, maybe they won't say that. Like, Christmas wants to save Kacer as well. Christmas is on board with that idea. Bailey and Devon are also like, they wouldn't mind Kacer being saved, especially for Bailey if David is the other option. So there are a lot of people in the house that actually wouldn't mind Kacer staying, which, who knows?
Not mad at it, Taryn. I am not mad at it. And like, not for my own personal reasons, but I think for some of their games, it makes complete sense to keep them. I think that this is why I'm saying I'm impressed with Christmas. I do think that Christmas might have put in the best amount of work with Kacer outside of Bailey. And Bailey's work kind of comes in a little bit embedded with the Janelle connection. She gets Kacer as like a remnant. But I think that Christmas has done the most organic in-house work with him. And I do think that this is someone that would benefit her having. And I do think that she would have sway with him. I do think so. I do think that, you know, you've got another athletic blonde who's going to be Kacer's partner. I could see the fit here. I mean, it's like a Lego piece that's a little bit got like a different corner, but the rest of the piece kind of looks like ish the same. Like it could work if you have to makeshift it. I do think this is the right choice for her to try and get Enzo to do this. And I think Enzo's talked about how he's cool with Bailey. So if Bailey talks to him and Christmas talks to him and then Kacer has a good conversation with him, we could see the tides change. But this is all being said knowing fully that his loyalties live and die with Cody over anyone else. So if Cody digs his heels, Kacer's at least touching the block regardless of what happens here.
Mm-hmm. I like this idea of Danny trying to replace Janelle as queen of Big Brother. But in reality, Christmas ends up replacing Janelle with Kacer.
Yeah. And then if she wins and then she gets rid of Danny. And now is she like the complete queen? Is she like dethroned the queen that dethroned the queen? Like what kind of usurping levels are we talking?
Christmas Baratheon has come in. she's got her mage in Enzo, who's the red what do they call it? I forget now. All right, that's enough of that.
It's been a minute since
yeah, Danny and Kacer talk. They talk about David being erratic, and Danny says that David being up next to him on the block would be good for him. And Kacer brings up the point. Yeah, well, I mean, who would want David to be in jury? Danny's like, that's a good point, Kacer. Cody's going to talk with Ian. He fills him in on some of the David stuff. Ian says, all right, well, you know, I look out for Nicole. And Nicole was nervous about David potentially winning the HOH competition. Apparently, David actually did come kind of close. So I wouldn't mind taking him out if Nicole is nervous about him. Cody says, though, he wants Kacer out. And honestly, the only reason he's dead set on Kacer is that they can't risk him and Janelle pairing back up if someone comes back. And that is true. That's the only reason, really, that anybody really cares to see Kacer leave is that they're worried about a potential buyback, which is kind of annoying.
Yes, yes. But especially when it's looking like there's no buyback on the horizon, at least for this first quarter, we know that everything's not like that's not the case. So it's very, I don't like it. I wish that they would, you know, confirm, hey, it's not happening. But also, you know, then that kind of you're kind of tampering with the dynamics of the game that you've decided are going to be the dynamics of the game. So given that I believe the two of us are of the mind of they're not going to rig anything party. So I think that they're not going to do it. They shouldn't do that, whatever. But I think that ultimately Cody is so snowed in by this. But I would like to point out that Cody is not that keen on Ian either. Cody is definitely, you know, he's seen the link with Nicole. He's seen how Nicole has a big parachute in Ian that will do whatever she wants. And I think Cody feels not intimidated by that, but he feels like he could be replaced or he could be the subject of an Ian knockout. Because Nicole doesn't want to take the shot herself. That's my read on it. I do think that the more and more Ian talks like this with Cody, the more he's going to move up that list for Cody as well.
Mm-hmm. People are wondering, I did in fact talk with Janelle this morning with Rob, she's not coming back. It's not happening. So look out for that later today. Interview with Janelle. It was a fun one. So yes, Cody is worried about Ian. He's worried about the fact that Ian, is loyal strictly to Nicole. And Ian makes that clear. Ian says, Cody asks Ian, like, who do you want out this week? Like, what's your plan? And Ian basically says, I don't really want to ruffle any feathers this week, so I'll go with what everyone else wants. If I win next week, I might go for David, since he's being so erratic and Nicole seems nervous about him. Nicole also seems nervous about Bailey, so that's another option. Kacer told me that Bailey wouldn't put me up, but, Nicole is nervous about her. So that's sort of where Ian's head is at. And Cody feels like he's having to, like, dig to get this out, which Cody does not like.
No. I mean, it's not great when this is someone who you're supposed to have good rapport with. They only refer to moves they want to make by bringing up one of your alliance members and not really taking your opinion in. And you having to pull this information out isn't going to make you feel safe about this at all. If anything, he's realizing more and more now that Ian is an extension of people that I'm working with through Nicole. And if Nicole decides not to be with me, or if Nicole decides some other thing, Ian's going to jump and do that as well. So I have zero control here. All I have is a vote with me for the moment. That's it.
Yes. So Cody's going to talk with Nicole and Danny. They talk a little bit about Ian and how he's like, I feel like Ian's, holding back from me. They talk about the fact that apparently during the competition, Devon was cheering very hard for Kacer specifically to win the competition. And they're like, what the hell? What is she doing? She obviously wanted him to win. She knows he's coming for us. Like, what is she doing?
This is also, might I add, this is not the first time in the night where someone was mad about the cheering. Enzo has also been very annoyed with the cheering that was done during the competition and the fakeness. He doesn't like flip-floppers. He doesn't like fakeness. And to him, it was a lot of just cosmetic cheering, and he's not about that.
And Devon went to Kacer. She said, I was cheering for you, man. Bailey walks in on them talking at some point, and I guess gets a weird vibe, and she leaves, and she's like, I'll leave you guys to your canoodling. They're like, wow. All right. Jeez.
It's the choice of words and the way it's said, right? So, Taryn, if you were on this call with someone else and I'm like, well, I'm gonna leave this flirt, man. It's like, oh, you don't need me here. You'll be like, well, what is wrong with you? Like, we're just having a conversation. You can be a part of this combo. So it's like a little bit offensive to them. And then a little bit of like, well, we were trying to, fake that we're down for you to be here, even though we really didn't want you to be here. But we're offended that you didn't buy what we were selling. So forget you. I think that's really what it comes down to.
It's exactly what I was saying yesterday's update. When Bailey and Devon were talking about how they don't fully trust this Cody, Danny, and Nicole sort of like trio, that they think that they're kind of like closer together and that they're, all of that. Like, Cody likes Nicole too much. And I was like, I like that they should be nervous about this, but I would rather they blindly trust them and not give away that they're skeptical than be a little bit skeptical and give away that they're skeptical, because I don't trust that they'll be able to not give it away. And this is exactly what I meant when I said that when Bailey comes in and just making that little comment, it gives so much away about like what's on her mind. And they see it. They see it and they're very concerned about it. Danny is already now thinking that she wants Bailey gone. Because of that moment, Cody says, yeah, last night she was talking about Nicole and why are we caring about Nicole's feelings? She seemed very anti-Nicole. And Nicole was like, ah, I knew it. I was right. I knew she didn't like me. you know, it's just, it's not great.
No, it's not. And I think that it's like equal parts self-fulfilling prophecy and I know what I need to do, but I can't help myself. Like, I think she fully knows, she's fully aware that I need to not give anything away. But in moments like this, it's frustrating because every time she walks in and see this, she sees this like combination of people. It's confirmation of what she knows. I'm on the outer of this. I'm not a part of this. It's frustrating. Oh my God. Again in this room, again in another room. Like, it's hard to keep that in, but it's so crucial, especially in sensitive weeks like this where things can flip on a dime. You don't want to be the person it flips onto. So it's poor play, but also I feel like she couldn't help herself.
And that's the problem. Like, I feel like Devon and Bailey are like I love them together as personalities, but their games just they don't mesh well at all. Like, Bailey is such a social player who sometimes like finds it hard to like hide her feelings. Devon is like never hides her feelings, but Devon is all about the investigation. And so like with Devon always wanting to figure things out and then like instill some doubt into Bailey. Now Bailey is having a hard time keeping like the smile up, keeping like the facade up that she still trusts them. And they both kind of end up spiraling down. So it's rough. Now, again, it's a good outcome for them. They're going to survive this week, probably. Yeah. So they've got some time. But it feels like we're saying that every week at this point, they got a little more time and then they do some good things with it. And then it kind of walks itself backwards again. We'll see. We'll see. Luckily, you know, Tyler's playing in the next HOH, and you know he's not coming for them. Even like Cody's still not coming for them specifically. But they're still in some trouble with a lot of these other people, especially all of Nicole's people. They should really hope that Ian goes this week. So, Danny is also going to talk with Nicole a little bit later. And she is talking to Nicole about how Memphis is actually on her radar now that, you know, once they hit jury, they're going to have to start looking at these comp beasts. And she's looking at Memphis as the person that she wants to take the first shot at, which is kind of new news, that she's been talking a lot about Tyler, but over the last few days in particular, she's mentioned to Cody that she thinks Tyler really trusts her. Tyler has put in some really good work with Danny. When he became HOH, he went to her specifically because she's the one he's most worried about. And he said, hey, us three, you, me, and Cody, we need to move as one because a lot of these people are double dipping. And he spent a lot of time trying to convince her that he trusts her. By the end of the week, Danny says to Cody, Tyler really trusts me. And now his name is not on her lips as much anymore. Now she's talking about Memphis as the person that she wants to go after. And she still prefers Cody over Tyler. She says eventually Cody and Tyler will go up after Memphis goes and we'll get rid of Cody then, or get rid of Tyler then. But Tyler, I think, has moved up on her list of priorities to keep in the game. And she has moved down on the list of priorities of a lot of people to keep in the game. So kudos to Tyler for helping, you know, calm that fire.
It doesn't matter what situation Tyler finds himself in. I think if anything, this last week was evident that he's able to out social anybody and outmaneuver anybody. And I think that using the time he had last week with his safety to not only get some, like, strengthen some bonds that he had, but then also fix some of the bonds that were getting strained because of David. Like, he ultimately did a lot of work to make sure that his name is not in a bad place. And to be honest, once she goes after Memphis, let's say that happens and we play that out, I do think there is a chance that he's able to convince her again to not go after him. And, you know, sell the, hey, Cody and Nicole are more of a thing. We need to stick together. I could definitely see that being a thing that happens as well.
Well, that's how she makes it that far at this point.
Yeah, exactly. If everything she's saying works out and they get to that position. And I think it's just more strength to Tyler has the ability to get this kind of stuff done with almost no effort, but with a lot of work.
Yeah. Danny also talks about, yeah, we were just talking about this last night because the Ian edit last night. Danny is like, I'm sick of Ian acting dumb, like acting like he's not a really good player in this game. Like, I was telling him, like, Ian, you're one of the best winners of all time. Why are you playing the game like this? You're playing like you don't know what you're doing. And I was like, okay, I guess maybe there's a little, like, Ian does talk about how smart he is all the time, but people look at his game and they're thinking that he's downplaying it. Nicole says, I don't know if he's downplaying his, like, game so much. I mean, I think that I'm controlling him right now, but I do think he'll stab me in the back eventually. I think what's happening, perhaps, with Danny is that she has maybe fallen into the same trap that a lot of the audience did in the preseason when they rated Ian's game very, very highly. And now that the season's actually happening, they're like, oh, maybe we remembered that wrong. And she thinks that he's doing that on purpose. But in reality, like, he really is, like, every you know, time he talks about who's targeting, it's like, well, Nicole said this. So, but Danny's not a fan of it. And Nicole, while she does think that she has Ian on lock right now, does not trust him in the long term. So she's like, yeah, we'll keep him around, though, for now. But yeah, eventually he's going to stab me in the back.
Yeah, like, he does. So outside of his whole, like, game persona that he's trying to have people be like, see, is, oh, I'm Nicole simp. I just do whatever Nicole wants me to do. And that's it. That's the fact of the matter. He also has moments that Danny pointed out. So it was one of the things where he brought up, he's like, oh, yeah, the HOH room last year looked like this. And he had been telling people that he hasn't really been watching the show. So then when Danny called him out on that, he was like, oh, I just saw it in a photo. Like, I didn't really watch it because, like, his whole thing is I haven't watched the season. So it's stuff like that that Danny's also glomming onto, which is like, she feels like there's more than meets the eye with Ian. There's more information there than Ian is letting out. And I do think that if she, you know, has listened to Ian talk about stuff on podcasts or watched Ian play, Ian's MO is usually, let me not do anything the first couple of weeks. Let me survive, because that he knows. I think Ian knows that's his hardest time for Ian. Is that early going when he needs to make the social bonds, because he does come off awkward to start. And then after that, his true colors will show. But I do think that, because, like, you guys talked about it yesterday on the podcast, and I feel like he's not really playing stupid, because he is boasting about the, hey, I'm the smartest guy here. He is clowning people in games and stuff. But then also the game persona he currently has as, like, Nicole's henchman makes him seem like he's putting on more of a dumb front than he is.
Yeah, but then he talks to other people like he's running the game. Like, he talks to Kevin like, oh, Kevin, you poor thing. I mean, hey, your spot isn't that bad. You know, you might have nobody unlike me. And, you know, when I played my first game, I was like, I was completely blindfolded. I had no idea what I was doing. This season, I feel much better. And you're in that spot. You're in the Dan spot. Hey, it's not that bad for you. You know, you can still bounce back. And he's kind of like walking around the house like he's like, yeah, I got this on lock. And he doesn't either. Unfortunately, like, he could have been out week two and he could be out week four. And I think he will continue to almost be out like week after week until he starts, you know, winning competitions or something. Right. Like, yeah. I do not love this strategy. Like, if he knows that the early portion of the game is his weak spot, then he should be playing harder. In my opinion, he should be making more connections and getting more people to think that he's valuable, because if the only person, like, he's making it clear to everyone that he's only valuable to Nicole, and that means that, like, and this is the problem with the strategy, unless Nicole is Dan Gheesling and can protect you, you're gone. People are going to want you out because you're close to Nicole, and Nicole is not Dan Gheesling.
Yeah, no, she isn't. And that's the thing, is that I think the fact that he's one of two returning winners has put him in this position of paranoia where he's like, I can't do too much. I've already proven I've won once, right? So I can't do that. And then he's kind of just anchored himself to Nicole, like, Nicole will get me there to the promised land. Nicole will, like, lead me past where I need to go. But then also just quickly to the point of, like, I do think he does put on a front with some people, like, specifically the Kevin thing you mentioned. It's like Ian's holding a C-grade report card And he's dunking on the kid that's getting F's. He's like,
yeah,
man, you don't know what you're doing. I'm so good at this class. But then when he's around the A students, he's like, I need a tutor. Like, I don't really know what's going on. I definitely need your help. So he's like in that middle, but then he's like flexing to the people that he thinks he can get away with it. But then to the people that he knows he has no control with, he's like, oh, I'm just Nicole's henchman. I don't know what's going on.
Which, like, I think it should be reversed.
Yeah.
Right. I think you should do the opposite of that with each play. But what are you going to do? So that's basically what we had for the night. Puya, unless you had anything else that you wanted to bring up.
No, I do like, so this season, to just speak broadly for a hot second, I always knew coming into this, my faves are going to take out my faves. I'm going to have people I like on this side. I'm going to have people I like on the, I like Enzo. I've been someone who's been very much enjoying the Enzo journey. And like now he's won the thing. He might go after Kaser. He might take out Ian. Heartbreak, either way. But if I would put you on to a clip to watch Enzo in his HOH room once everyone leaves. Okay, so everyone leaves. Christmas leaves his room. He's going to go shut down the lights. He's like, they're all flip-floppers. F all of them. I don't care. Doesn't matter. It's a good clip. If I can pull up the clip while we're doing plugs, I'll put it in the chat for you so you can see it. That's how much I believe in this clip. It's just, we're poised for a fun week, gang. I know it looks a little bit bleak with the potential Kaser exit, but as one of Kaser's number one fans, I will tell you that there's some promise still here. There's some hope here. We got to just keep it alive.
Yes. That's kind of what we have. I did get the sense from Enzo that I don't think he would mind if Kaser stayed. I think Cody wants Kaser out more than Enzo does. And yeah. Enzo likes to do whatever he wants. And I think he wouldn't mind Kaser leaving. I think he also wouldn't mind making a bigger move. I think he would love to backdoor Ian. We know this. Doesn't want a winner. I don't want to know champ winning our season, yo. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to make a big move. I think he wants to weaken Nicole. And I really feel like this is what he wants to do. When he talks to Christmas, he says, well, if everyone's telling me to do this, I've got to. But how do you feel about Ian? And when he's talking to Cody, he mentions Ian, and he also mentions Kevin as like, well, Kevin could also go. I think he feels like he has to put up Kaser because it would be weird if he didn't. But he really is open to another solution. And there are a lot of other people in the house that want another solution. So I do not think that this week is set in stone. I think Ian is in a lot of danger. I think Kevin and David are both in some danger. And of course, Kaser is still in probably the most danger. But it could go a few different ways.
The hope is, you know, Enzo is also known as Dwight Squall, the rapper. And if he channels one of his inspirations, Eminem, and he goes to 8 Mile, he goes to Lose Yourself, and he realizes, you know, opportunity comes once in a lifetime. I've never won an HOH. This is my one shot. Maybe I get out the person I want the most, regardless of what other people might be saying. Maybe we get to see a case for safety here. But also, and Taryn, I would hope when we talk next week, it's not with a case or removed from the house. Let's just hope our boy, if our boy gets one comp win, let it be this veto. Just to ease my mind. Let it just be here, right now.
That would be great.
I'll take it.
He's just got two more evictions.
And he's there.
And he's made jury for the first time. That's all we're asking for, right, Puya?
That's all we've wanted. That's all I want. I mean, the fact is I've gotten a month of him. I didn't think I was going to get that. So I'm happy with that. But ultimately, it's jury that I want. I want him to at least have made jury once so that, you know, not to say that I don't think he's ever going to be in like an upper echelon of players. I don't think his persona perception is going to change at all. Let's just have his record look a little nicer. Just a little bit. Little bit. Just, that's all I want.
I mean, how great of a juror would Kaser be? He'd be so good. He'd be guys, you don't understand that they formed this alliance and it was super good. He'd be very fair, and it would be great. And we wouldn't have to say that Kacer has been evicted four times and never made jury.
And that's the I don't want those words out of my mouth, and they will happen if it happens. I hope not. And if I'm thinking about it, it's like, okay, who's the direct Puya? You want Kacer on the jury? Who would you take out? I think I would take out the person who would like to decide whose credit is better or worse. I think that's personally, I'm not a fan of the audits that go on in the house. So I think, Taryn, if we can get everyone to light their candles up over this weekend, maybe we see a Kacer veto. We get one step closer to that jury dream for him.
Got to make it happen. All right. That's what we have for you today. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And tomorrow night, we will have a Saturday night roundtable where we'll talk about the Legacy Watch and see what happened to Janelle's stature in the pantheon of Big Brother. See what happened to her after she was evicted and see where everyone else is falling with their reputations. Of course, keep an ear out for the Janelle exit interview that we did this morning. I'm sure that will be up soon today at some point. I'll tweet it out when it is so you can find it there. Puya, what are you up to?
People can find me on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Puyaism on all of them. I've got the 90 Day Fiancé Rehappa podcast back up again this week. We talked about the latest episodes of Happily Ever After and The Other Way. And other than that, Taryn, of course, consuming feeds. That's all I'll be doing this weekend. I'll be back here in the chat tomorrow for Liana Saturday. I'll be back in the chat for Sunday. I'm just here to consume all the things, especially if this is the Swan Song week. I'm going to consume all of it. So you can catch me on Twitter, give my opinions.
There you go. Okay, thank you guys so much for joining us. See you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.